Hey there, and welcome to the Plays the Thing, podcast number 4, The Protagonist. My name is Andy Black, and I'm a playwright. This podcast series is being offered in conjunction with the Play Submissions Helper website. My personal website is www.andrewblackplaywright.com. The Play Submissions Helper website is www.playsubmissionshelper.com. This podcast will talk about the structural element of the protagonist and look at why it's important to identify a protagonist for a theatrical narrative, how having a strong protagonist can make your play more powerful, characteristics of an effective protagonist, and some of the problems associated with developing a protagonist. Before we get into the content, however, I'm going to take care of a few administrative details. Each of the podcasts has a learning aid which can be downloaded from the Play Submissions Helper website in PDF form. The learning aid that goes with this podcast is called Podcast 4, The Protagonist. You'll be able to follow along with some of the key points by looking at the handout if you like. Second, who am I? I'm your learning host for this podcast. My name is Andrew Black and I'm a playwright. And I wrote my first play, which was a romantic comedy, with my collaborator, Patricia Milton, in 2001. That play was a finalist in a national playwriting contest in 2002, and it was produced for the first time in San Diego in 2003, and has now been produced across the country. Patricia and I collaborated on 3 more plays, and I began to write on my own. Eventually, I got an MFA in playwriting from Ohio University, and I graduated in 2012. I now live in Indianapolis, and I teach playwriting at the Indiana Writers Center here in Indianapolis. My plays are produced throughout the United States, and I also have a degree in industrial and organizational psychology. I work on my day job doing leadership development. So I actually feel my background in psychology and instructional design and my artistic talent as a playwright qualify me to teach playwriting in a unique way. And if you want more information about me and what I do and how I work as a playwright, you can go to my personal website, www.andrewblackplaywright.com. I also want to give a big shout out to the series sponsor, Play Submissions Helper. They're a terrific organization. They're actually a community of more than 1,700 playwrights, and their goal is to help playwrights realize their dream of getting plays produced by saving those playwrights hours of time researching for theaters to submit their work to. You pay $6.99 a month, and PSH provides a compendium of hundreds of theaters that are accepting play submissions. It's the perfect system for a busy playwright who wants to focus on the craft of writing. You can sign up now by going to PlaySubmissionsHelper.com. And I want to say that Play Submissions Helper has been working on finalizing their plans for Black Friday. And I really am happy to tell you that the details of the sale have been finalized. So they're running a special event where you can sign up for Play Submissions Helper and get $6 off the first month by using a special code. And the code is CYBER17. So if you go to PSH on Cyber Monday, you can sign up and take advantage of that special deal. So if you've been trying to decide whether you wanted to join or not, this could be the time to do it. You may also have a friend or a colleague or a fellow playwright who is interested, and could be the time to tell them about this opportunity and get them engaged as well. So as I say, Cyber Monday, go to the Play Submissions Helper website and use the code CYBER17. And just so you'll know, it's all caps, CYBER, 17. So that'll be the code that will give you that, let you take advantage of that special offer. So those are all the administrative details. I think I'm ready to get into the content now. And if you want to follow along with the overview of what I'm going to be talking about in this podcast, you can go ahead and turn to page 3 of the handout. If you happen to have the time to download that and print it out. I've already done the welcome, the startups. I've talked about the handout and who I am and our sponsor, Play Submissions Helper. So what I'm going to be covering in this session, first I'm going to talk a little bit about the teaching examples that I'm going to use to illustrate the concept of the protagonist. I actually have five typical characteristics of protagonists that I'm going to be reviewing for you, and they're listed on page 3. And then I'm going to be talking specifically about some problems that you might run into when you're developing a protagonist for your play. And it looks like I have 6 of them that I'm going to be covering in this podcast. And I'm also going to be talking about some strategies that you can use to deal with those problems if you're encountering them. Finally, at the end, I'm going to give you some learning assignments that you can use if you want to develop a better understanding of the concept of the protagonist. So that's an overview of what I'm going to be talking about in this particular session. So if you turn to page 4 of your handout, you'll see that I actually have a picture of Professor Harold Hill on this page from the musical The Music Man, which happens to be my favorite American musical. And I use this page to talk a little bit about teaching examples. And I'm going to say that one of the challenges of teaching playwriting is that it's actually very helpful to use examples from great plays. However, not all playwrights, not all people who are learning about playwriting are familiar with all the same plays. And I'm at the point now where I really need to provide some specific examples, and I would like to be able to provide examples that everybody listening to this podcast is familiar with. I may not be able to do that. So I'm just going to make the suggestion here that if you're an aspiring playwright, one thing that you do need to do is familiarize yourself with a standard canon of great plays. And if need be, seek them out and read them, because not only are you going to learn a lot about playwriting for reading those great plays, but most playwriting instructors are going to be referring to a common set of great plays that illustrate the techniques of playwriting effectively. So as part of your development, I think you need to read those plays anyway. And when you go for learning experiences, you're going to be expected to be familiar with certain plays. So there are a lot of great protagonists in the world of the theater. And I really do believe that the plays that we remember the best are the plays that have the strongest protagonists. And we remember those plays so well for reasons that I think are going to become clear during this podcast. So when you think about Macbeth, you think about Blanche DuBois in Streetcar Named Desire. You think about Oedipus Rex. You think about Hedda Gabler. You think about John Proctor in The Crucible. Those are all outstanding, powerful protagonists whose experiences on stage are memorable and vivid because those protagonists are so strong and because they were so well written. Now, this particular podcast, I'm going to take 5 well-known protagonists and use them as my teaching examples. So here they are. Hamlet from, of course, Hamlet by William Shakespeare. Walter Lee Younger from Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry. Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, which was a book written by L. Frank Baum and has been adapted into movies and plays by many different people over the years. I'll be looking at Nora Helmer in A Doll's House by Henrik Ibsen. And Harold Hill from The Music Man, which was a musical which was written by Meredith Willson. So those are the 5 protagonists that I'm going to be using to illustrate my points during this podcast. And I'm going to assume that most of you listening are familiar with at least one of those protagonists, and hopefully with more than just one. I'm just going to say one thing about The Wizard of Oz. It is best known as a movie, not a play. But the story is so familiar to most people that I teach that I frequently use it as a teaching example. And the story has been adapted for many stage versions. I've actually seen a musical version of The Wizard of Oz on stage, which follows the storyline of the movie almost exactly. So I'm using that here as kind of a fallback. And I just want to say, as a matter of record, children's stories almost always have very strong narratives, because children get bored really easily, and if they won't put up with weak narratives the way that adults will. So many great examples for teaching narratives can actually be found in children's stories. So that's a little bit about the teaching examples I'm going to be using. Let's move on and get into the meat of the session, the podcast, the protagonist. So I'm going to define the protagonist as the main character of a literary, theatrical, cinematic, or musical narrative. This character is the one around whom the events of the narrative's plot revolve and with whom the audience is intended to share the most empathy. It is the character that the audience member will most likely identify with. And it's actually designed, the character is designed so that the audience will identify with him, her, or it. An effective play lulls the audience member into almost a dream state. And when the playwright does his job or her job, the audience will literally forget that it's in a theater and have kind of an out-of-body experience of being somewhere else. It might be anywhere. They could be on the south side of Chicago in 1959. They could be in Denmark in the late Middle Ages. They could be in the Land of Oz. They could be in River City, Iowa at the turn of the 20th century. The protagonist is the character through whose consciousness the audience member enters the dream world of the play. And if the play has a strong protagonist whose point of view is built and maintained over the course of the narrative, the play will have a kind of hypnotic effect on the audience. It's really difficult to overestimate the importance of this psychological transference. A play which has no clear protagonist simply becomes a story being told on a stage. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but a strong play will almost always make a choice about the eyes through which the audience member sees the world that the playwright is creating. So that is an overview of what the protagonist is and why it is so important that a play have a strong protagonist. So now that I've defined the protagonist and validated the need for one, let me talk about some of the typical characteristics of the protagonist, and I'll use some of my teaching examples as I go. So there are a few key characteristics of effective protagonists. Now, these are not rules, but they're guidelines for you to consider as you build your play and tell your story. And I'll just say that if you don't follow these guidelines, my belief is that you should probably have a good reason to do so. You should not follow the guidelines because you choose not to follow them, not because you do not understand them or because you don't know how to follow them. There's an opportunity for you to continue to develop your skill if you are not clear exactly how to follow them. So characteristic number one, the protagonist is the character who drives the action of the story. And all five of our sample protagonists drive their stories. They're active. Hamlet struggles with the decision about whether or not to kill Claudius to avenge his father's death. Walter Lee wants to buy a liquor store, and he moves in that direction. Dorothy is determined to get back to Kansas. Nora in A Doll's House is determined to keep her husband from finding out how she got the money to pay his medical bills. Harold Hill is determined to sell a bunch of musical instruments to the citizens of River City, Iowa, and then get out of town with the money. These strong characters make one choice after another to drive the action of the play that they are the protagonists in. Characteristic number two. The protagonist is the character in the story who has the strongest want or need, and the character needs to have a goal. What activates the character usually is the goal that this character has. And as I mentioned, all five of these protagonists that I'm taking from my teaching examples have really strong goals, and they have the strongest need in the story. Now, other characters have needs as well. In Raisin in the Sun, Walter Lee's mother wants to get that house in the suburbs. So she has a goal which actually drives her into opposition with her son as the story progresses. In The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy's friends all have their own individual goals. One of them wants to get a heart, one of them wants to get brains, one of them wants courage. So it's actually useful for the supporting characters to have strong goals, which counterbalance or even conflict with the goal of the protagonist. So the Wicked Witch of the West wants to kill Dorothy. In Raisin in the Sun, there's a late arriving character named Carl Lindner who has a strong goal to keep the younger family from moving to Clyburn Park. But one way to figure out who the protagonist of the play is to ask the question, who in this story has the strongest want or need? Characteristic number three. The protagonist is the character who makes the final key decision of the play or the narrative. It's an important element of the protagonist's existence that he or she makes a compelling decision at the end of the narrative. That decision should, in fact, tell us something about the theme of the play. Hamlet does, in fact, kill Claudius. So he makes that decision to kill his uncle. What he learns is that it actually makes things worse. It doesn't solve anything, and the theme of the play is revenge is bad. But it's Hamlet's decision to execute on the charge that was given to him by his father's ghost at the end of the play that allows us to learn what the theme of the play is and to take away an idea that's something that we can think about in our own lives. Walter Lee does, in fact, refuse to accept the offer of money from Mr. Linder in Raisin in the Sun, even though it means he will not be able to use that money to buy his liquor store. And in so doing, he becomes a man, a real man, in a way that he would never have anticipated that he was going to become one. Nora Helmer decides to leave her husband and her family. Dorothy decides to return to Kansas, even though it means that she will have to leave Oz, where she has found lots of love and support. Harold Hill decides not to run out of River City with the money, but stays to face the music, if I can put it that way, and the Music Man. So the narrative needs to be constructed so that the protagonist can make a significant and decisive choice at the story's conclusion, which tells us something about what the play is all about or what the central idea of the play is. Number four, the protagonist is often a fish out of water. So of the characters that I'm using to teach this concept, Dorothy is most clearly the fish out of water in Oz. To a certain extent, Harold Hill is a fish out of water in River City. He's a stranger who's come to town, and so he doesn't fit in with the other town, with the townsfolk in River City, although he certainly tries to. The other three characters, not so much, although all of them are disaffected in some way at the story's beginning. Frequently, however, the hero or the heroine is the person that just doesn't fit in. And I think of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer as being the archetypal example of this kind of protagonist. The other reindeer don't want to play with him. They make fun of him. They refuse to let him play their reindeer games. Examples from the theater. One good one is Blanche DuBois from Streetcar Named Desire, who is completely out of place in the Kowalski apartment in New Orleans. In the stage musical Wicked, the protagonist is Elphaba, and she's clearly the fish out of water at Shiz University. She's the one who does not fit in. As the same character in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Randall McMurphy becomes the fish out of water. He's basically in a mental institution confined with a lot of residents who are diagnosed with mental illnesses. So as the same character, he becomes the fish out of water. Now, most humans have felt out of place at some point in their lives. So when you have a protagonist in an environment where he or she feels out of place or is out of place, that creates an incredible amount of empathy for that character almost immediately. And this characteristic of being a fish out of water is often used as a staple in comedy to create laughs where the character has to pretend to fit in, and then usually the pretext begins to unravel as the story unfolds. The next characteristic of a protagonist is that it's often the character that the play begins and ends with. Now, the protagonist does not necessarily have to appear on page one of the play, but the character should appear fairly soon and be on stage a lot. And if we as an audience are to identify with that character, they need to be present for us on stage as our surrogate. And frequently, the protagonist's name is the title of the play. So when you're talking about Hamlet, Macbeth, Hedda Gabler, Oedipus Rex, you actually have the name of the character as the title of the play. The next key characteristic of an effective protagonist is it's a character who has to deal with conflicts in the pursuit of the goal. So having to deal with conflicts is a defining characteristic of a good protagonist. As the hero or the heroine pursues the goal, he or she will run into complications. And how the character deals with these complications creates suspense, keeps us engaged, and of course it tells us something about the world of the play. Now, one thing I'm going to say as I wrap up this conversation about the characteristics of a good protagonist is that a protagonist is usually a human, but a protagonist does not have to be. Animal protagonists are more common in movies or novels, like Finding Nemo, where the protagonist is a fish, and Watership Down, the protagonist is a rabbit. And there's no reason that a protagonist can't be an animal or even an inanimate object. So if you take the stage musical The Lion King, it clearly features the lion Simba as its protagonist. The musical Cats by Andrew Lloyd Webber has a cast of completely made up of animals. Although I have to say, parenthetically, whether a protagonist is clearly identified in Cats is another question. If you want to look at another musical example, the musical Starlight Express features a cast of anthropomorphized toy trains who are racing against each other, and the whole musical is taking place in the mind of a small boy who serves as an offstage narrator. And I would like to encourage you, if you're thinking about it, to explore the use of these non-human protagonists in your plays. I think it's a fascinating way of metaphorizing a concept, and I think it's also really original. All right, then. We've talked about some of the key, what a protagonist is. We've talked about some of the key characteristics of the protagonist. And now I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the problems that occur when you're developing a protagonist as a playwright. There are some key mistakes that playwrights frequently make with their protagonists, are issues that prevent the protagonist from being as powerful as the playwright might want. So in your handout, if you look on page 7, you'll see a table. And this table in the first column has the issue and then a couple of suggested remedies. So I've got the problem on the left and then the potential solution for you to consider on the right. So the first issue is that there just is no clear protagonist, and I think this happens a lot. So I would encourage you as your remedy to decide, make a choice. Decide which character is going to serve as the audience's stand-in, and it's probably going to be the character who has the most at stake. So that's issue number one. Issue number two is that the protagonist does not have a clear goal. So if that's the case, you have to identify a goal for your protagonist. And the major dramatic question of your play is probably going to be, will the protagonist achieve his goal? And we find out the answer to this question close to the end of the play. So not only do you need to identify a goal, but probably you need to delay the resolution of that question until close to the conclusion of your narrative. So the protagonist's goal should answer the following question. What does the character want more than anything else in the world? And it might also answer the question, what does the character think will restore his or her peace of mind? Presumably the character really wants something, and or something has happened early in the play that's disturbed the character's peace of mind. And if so, we need to know what is going to meet the need that the character has or what's going to bring the character peace. So that typically defines the goal for the character. So if I go back to our teaching examples, Dorothy wants to get back to Kansas. That is her goal, and that's what's going to restore her peace of mind. Nora wants to keep her husband from finding out how she got that money to pay his medical bills. Walter Lee, again, wants to provide that liquor store. Hamlet wants to decide whether or not he's going to kill his uncle. So they all have really clear goals. And it's pretty clear in each of those plays what it's going to look like when the protagonist achieves his or her goal. So this brings us to our third problem that occurs in developing a protagonist is the protagonist may have a goal, but the audience doesn't exactly know what it's going to look like when the protagonist achieves that goal. So the playwright needs to identify what is sometimes called an onstage manifestation. On stage, it's very helpful to know what it's going to look like when the protagonist achieves his goal or her goal. It makes it crystal clear to the audience whether or not the character has achieved the goal. I'm actually going to spend a little bit more time in the next podcast on goals and onstage manifestations when I talk about the major dramatic question. So most of the characters in our teaching examples have very clear binary goals. Hamlet is either going to kill his uncle or he won't. Dorothy's either going to get back to Kansas or she won't. Walter Lee's either going to get that liquor store or he isn't. Nora's husband is either going to find out how she got the money or he isn't. Harold Hill is either going to rip off the citizens of River City and leave town or he won't. And in each of these narratives, it's actually quite clear to the audience whether the protagonist has achieved that goal or not. So as a writer, you have to ask yourself, is it going to be really, really clear to my audience if and when the hero or the protagonist has achieved his or her goal? So let's say, for instance, you have a character named John who wants to fall in love. So that's a very vague goal. I mean, it is a goal, but it's a vague one. Let's say that he wants to fall in love with Susan. Well, that's actually a much more specific goal. It's still a little vague, but it is more specific. And let's say that what John really wants is to fall in love with Susan and for Susan to fall in love with him. And the way he will know that this has happened is if Susan gives him a kiss. So we have a very, very specific onstage action that can either happen or not happen. And if John says in the beginning of the narrative, what I really want is to fall in love with Susan, and I'll know that we're in love when she kisses me, then the audience is going to be waiting for the entire play to see whether or not Susan and John kiss each other. So if you can create a protagonist who has not only a very clear goal, but a onstage manifestation that represents the accomplishment or the achievement of that goal, you're in a really, really, really strong position. So one of the things to do is assess whether your protagonist has a strong goal and do we know what it is going to look like when he or she achieves it. And if it's the answer is no, or if it seems vague, to go ahead and see if you can make things more specific and more tangible. Another common challenge or problem that I've run into frequently when I've been working with student playwrights on plays, and I've actually had this problem myself in writing narrative, is that the protagonist is sometimes one of the least interesting characters in the play. Now, I think there's a reason for this. The protagonist is often the psychological stand-in for the playwright. So if you're writing a play with a protagonist, to a certain extent, the protagonist psychologically represents you. And the secondary characters represent other aspects of your own personality. What sometimes happens is that those supporting characters are actually more interesting than the protagonist, because our quirks and our peccadilloes and our idiosyncrasies are in some ways the most interesting parts of us. So when we as writers create secondary characters with all these quirky, interesting characteristics, we sometimes make our protagonist less interesting by comparison. So there are a couple of things that you can do. Now, one thing right away, which is going to make your protagonist more interesting, is to make sure that he or she has the highest stakes in the play or is the most at risk. If you have done that, then you've automatically made the character more interesting if they're struggling with a big issue or if they have a big problem they have to contend with. Now, second to that, and also equally, I'd say equally important, is to make sure that your protagonist is a full-bodied character, presumably with some flaws. Now, not only do these flaws make the protagonist more interesting, but the flaws also set up an arc for the character and give that character somewhere to go over the course of the play. Frequently in plays or in narrative, the character needs to learn some kind of lesson. And that actually, the learning of the lesson is the theme or the core idea of the narrative. And then part of the story of the play is how the protagonist learns that lesson. Frequently, the character is irritable, restless, and discontented at the top of the play, and the play is about the character's journey to peace of mind. In general, if your protagonist is too happy, too nice, or too perfect at the top of the play, the character is vapid and boring and has nowhere to go. Now, I'm going to say this is where the art comes in. If the character is not nice enough or we don't identify with that character, we're not going to like him and we're going to lose interest in him. So the trick for the playwright is to give the protagonist enough flaws and enough juice to make him really interesting, but not so much juice or so many flaws that he ends up alienating the people who are supposed to identify with him. And I'm just going to say in general, in terms of character development, a tried and true way to develop your protagonist is to do what I would call full-on character work. There are lots of ways to build out characters. Now, this podcast isn't going to specifically go into those ways, but I will tell you that there are a lot of playwriting resources that contain long lists of questions that writers can ask about their characters and then answer them in order to build out a more fully developed character, or in this case, a more fully developed protagonist. The fact is that the more fully you understand the world of your protagonist, the more powerful he or she will be in that world and in your play. Certain facts, such as where does he live, what is his job, these things reveal a lot about a character and help define him and bring the protagonist to life. Another potential pitfall of developing a protagonist is somewhat related to the one we just talked about, that the character that you're developing may not actually be as interesting as you would want him or her to be. But another problem is that the protagonist is never in true danger or at any real risk. Now, I think the problem is also psychologically related to the fact that writers often identify with their protagonists. So if you identify strongly with the character you're creating, you're very protective of that character, and you may actually refuse to put the character in danger. And the fact of narrative is that the more danger the protagonist is in, the more real the threat and the more exciting the play. Do not be afraid to put your character in danger. I'll just tell you a quick story about a play of my own, which is called Puppet Man, and it's about a young man who has been incarcerated in a prison. His prison nickname is Pretty Boy. And Pretty Boy is very poor. He's a drug addict, and he needs to find a way to get his drugs. And the man who is supplying him with his drugs has suggested that if he has sex with one of the prison guards, who is a known predator, then that might be a channel by which he could get money and therefore could pay for his drugs. Pretty Boy doesn't want to do this for a lot of different reasons, not the only one of which is that he's an adult survivor of childhood sexual abuse. So this idea of having sex with this predatory figure is very triggering to him. So he has another idea. I'm not going to go into what the other idea is. That becomes the major dramatic question of the play, is will he be able to execute on this other idea? But when I first wrote the play, I did not create enough danger for my character, Pretty Boy. And upon a rewrite, I actually had a scene where there was a sexual encounter between the prison guard and Pretty Boy. And Pretty Boy was devastated by this. What that allowed us to see was the potentially destructive consequences for Pretty Boy if he went further down that path. And it was one of the highlights of the first act. It was actually quite chilling when it was performed on stage. And I had to put my character in danger and at risk to engender sympathy for him from the audience and for them to see how serious his predicament was and how painful it was for him. Part of this is that I was writing a character about a drug addict in prison. This is not necessarily the most sympathetic character to begin with, so I had to do a lot to develop the audience sympathy for him. And I will say I like Pretty Boy, and the actor who played him in the world premiere was actually quite charming, and I didn't want to put him in that kind of danger, but I had to do what was right for the play, and that involved putting my character at risk. In classical narrative, close to the end of the play, frequently the worst thing that could ever happen to the protagonist happens. This is called the crisis. So the character often faces his own worst fear. Now, one pitfall of many plays is the character doesn't face this moment of truth at the end of the play and run the risk of losing everything. So that's another thing to be thinking of in terms of danger and risk for your protagonist, is the level of risk that he experiences at the end of the play my advisor in graduate school used to talk about how something gets broken at the end of the play that can never be repaired. Another challenge that's associated with developing an effective protagonist is that the writer does not allow the protagonist to make a strong, decisive choice at the end of the play to resolve the crisis or to achieve the goal. Someone else solves the problem for the protagonist. Circumstances conspire in some way to solve the problem, or a magical solution emerges. In this case, the story needs to be structured in a way that allows the protagonist to resolve the issue himself or herself. If you have a play, or if you have an outline for a play, and you realize that at the conclusion, somebody else steps in and helps the protagonist achieve his goal or saves him or her, you have actually weakened your protagonist and removed his agency. Fundamentally, resolving the problem this way disempowers your audience as well, because they don't get to have the fun of seeing the character they identify with solve the problem. And then as a result, they are not able to develop that insight about how they might solve the problem if they were in a similar situation to the character that they've been empathizing with. Let me go back to my teaching examples for a minute, and you'll see how powerful this is. So if we take Raisin in the Sun, Walter Lee does not get the liquor store. He gives the money that he's going to use to buy it to someone who is unreliable, and the person runs off with it, so Walter's money is gone. His mother has put her money as a down payment on a house in Clyburn Park, which is a suburb where she wants to take the family. The people in Clyburn Park do not want the African-American family moving there. So they come back to the house and they offer the family the opportunity to take the money back if in agreement they will not move into that neighborhood. So here's Walter Lee's chance. He can take the money back. He can keep his family from moving to Clyburn Park, and he can buy that liquor store. He makes a heroic, decisive decision not to take the money back. He insists that he will move his family to Clyburn Park, whether the neighbors want them there or not. Now, what having the liquor store represented to Walter was to be a man of means and a powerful individual. So what ends up happening in A Raisin in the Sun is that he becomes a man of means and a powerful individual in a completely different way than he expected, a more powerful way than simply buying a liquor store. So he makes this decisive choice, which tells us a lot about Walter Lee, and it also tells us a lot about manhood. Let's take another look at Hamlet. All through the narrative, Hamlet has been trying to decide whether or not he's going to honor the wishes of the ghost of his father by killing his uncle. And in the climactic final moments of the play, Hamlet is himself poisoned by a poison rapier and is about to die. So his dying act is to kill his own uncle. So he does honor that. So he makes that decisive choice in the aftermath of his own death, the act of his own dying, he executes that choice. So the uncle dies. Hamlet is still dying. He was the victim of a slow-acting poison, so the uncle dies first. And in the aftermath of that choice to kill the uncle, the entire kingdom falls. Fortinbras comes on the scene and takes over the kingdom. So the point is that these courtiers are so involved with their own petty politics that they miss the big picture, and that Hamlet, by being so preoccupied with revenge, ended up losing the kingdom. And his final request is for his friend Horatio to tell his story so that no one ever makes the same mistakes that he did. So Hamlet makes that decisive choice. And then we learn the lesson. Hamlet learns the lesson, and through him, the audience does as well. So these choices are strong and powerful at the end of these narratives. And in crafting your own narrative, you need to think about how you are going to have your protagonist resolve the issue that is besetting him or her, or what strong choice the protagonist is going to make as he or she pursues the goal. So that brings us to the conclusion of our podcast. The only thing left is to provide you with some assignments, some things you can work on your own to develop your understanding of the protagonist and of the content that I've been reviewing in this session. So just quickly, I talked a little bit about the protagonist, what the protagonist is, and why it's important to have one. I talked about some typical characteristics of the protagonist, and then I talked a little bit about problems that can occur in developing a protagonist and what some of the possible remedies are. So if you look in your handout on page 10, you'll see the assignments for this podcast. And if you have your playwright's journal, this is a great time to use it. So first I'm going to suggest you to think about a play and just pick one you really like and see if you can identify the protagonist. So I'm going to ask you to pick a play where it's pretty easy to do that. Now see how many of the following are true of the protagonist in the play that you like. First of all, it should be pretty clear who it is. This individual, this character should have a clear goal. This character should be the most interesting character in the play. This character should be active. This character should make things happen. And at some point, the protagonist needs to be in true danger or at risk. Finally, the character needs to make a decisive choice at the end of the story, which resolves his or her problem. So just think about the play that you really like and decide for yourself how many of those characteristics are true about the protagonist. Question number two, I'm going to ask you now to think about a play that you're working on or maybe an idea that you're thinking about. Who do you think is the protagonist in your play or in your idea? And what does that character want more than anything else in the world? Number three, what are the protagonist's flaws? And what is likely to be the character's psychological journey over the course of the play? How will the character change? How will this character be endangered during the narrative? And what choices do you see this character making that are going to drive the action of the story? Finally, what decision will the protagonist make at the end of the story that is going to resolve the question as to whether or not the goal is attained? And how does that decision, which the character makes, reveal the theme of your story? So those are your assignments. I'm going to encourage you to have fun doing them. And if you pick a play that you like to think about and then take your own idea and push it around a little bit and see where you get. I have to say, I love doing these podcasts. It's a lot of fun. This one in particular has been fun. I strongly believe in the power of the protagonist. And I also have enjoyed kind of thinking about some of my own favorite plays and the protagonists. And what I do believe that the reason that I like those plays is because they have such strong protagonists. And it's actually been fun thinking about those plays and thinking about those protagonists and how powerful they are. So again, I'm going to encourage you to visit the Play Submissions Helper website. And just as a reminder, they're running a special event where you can get $6 off your first month if you use the code CYBER17 if you sign up for a membership with PSH on Cyber Monday. And again, that code is CYBER17, all caps, CYBER17. So it's been great working with you today. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have too. And the next podcast is we're going to stay focused on the protagonist to an extent. We're going to be looking at the major dramatic question, which should always involve your protagonist. So if you come back for podcast number 5, we're going to talk a little bit about the major dramatic question, and you're going to learn more about the protagonist's goal. So we'll see you next time, and have a great time working on your play.